This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Our second panellist is Lee Carney. Lee is a lawyer in the LGBTI rights unit at the Human Rights Law Centre, and advocates to remove all laws that discriminate against LGBTI people. They have worked on strategic litigation, campaigns and advocacy for a range of equality law reforms across Australia, including the High Court challenge to the marriage equality postal plebiscite, federal anti-discrimination protections, birth certificate reforms, and the recent Kelvin test case on access to hormone treatment for transgender young people. GLHB and Archers have worked with Lee and their partner in crime, Anna Brown, is probably the wrong term for someone who works at a law centre, at the Human Rights Law Centre on a number of projects. We're currently working on one looking at the impact of gay conversion therapy on LGBT people of faith, and we worked on the legislative reforms that Justice Kirby talked about, which enable gay men to have their convictions for offences related to what today are lawful sexual activities expunged from their criminal records. The fabulous Lee Carney.
Thank you so much for that very kind introduction, Liam. I would also like to thank Auntie Joy for your so poignant and grounding welcome to country today. It was really special. I acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we're meeting on today. And I'd also just like to remind everyone that we're meeting on land where sovereignty was never ceded and a treaty was never signed. And I hope that one day we can remedy that injustice. We believe that no one should be treated unfairly or subjected to harm and abuse just because of who they are or who they love. When I was thinking about preparing for this talk and talking about what next after marriage equality, the first thing I thought of was, well, 5 minutes is not enough. So this will just be a brief overview of law reform that we're focusing on at the Human Rights Law Centre. But what came to mind was that we cannot end with marriage equality. We have a responsibility to not leave behind our trans, gender diverse, intersex, queer communities and to help them to pick up the pieces from the battlefield we have the privilege of walking away from. Even though the battle, the postal survey was not our fault and we fought as hard as we could to put a stop to it, we have that responsibility to our brave and beautiful trans and gender diverse brothers, sisters, siblings, family, some of whom are here in this room today, who have been relentlessly targeted by a hate-fueled no campaign with no regard for the long-term destruction they left in their wake. And that includes what Babak has so thoughtfully and I think really illustrated to us as well about the need to consider the intersections of who has really borne the brunt of the prejudice and hatred of the no campaign. I'm going to talk about five different areas where we focus our work if we want a fairer, kinder world that we're going to need to fight together to end the deeply entrenched discrimination that LGBTIQ+ people continue to experience in Australia and across the world. So first, we need to end the discrimination that is entrenched in the law. We need to remove every last stain of direct discrimination against LGBTIQ people. This includes removing the gay panic defence in South Australia. If you're not aware of that defence, it's an element of the defence of provocation that I know that Justice Kirby can speak on because he has unfortunately had to sit on cases where this has been debated, where he has been a strong voice of dissent against other members of the bench. But what this does is it essentially downgrades a murder charge to a manslaughter charge on the basis of a non-violent homosexual advance. It is a situation where a person's charge and therefore their sentence is reduced because of the sexual orientation of the victim of a crime. We also need to make sure that there is equal access to starting a family in Australia, in the Northern Territory and Western Australia. There's still laws which have direct discrimination against anyone who's not a married man and woman wanting to start a family using ART or surrogacy. And there are also areas where our laws allow for unjustified discrimination. And this has already been raised by Justice Kirby, so I won't go on at length, but religious exemptions, carve-outs from our existing discrimination laws, which allow discrimination in religious organisations, in publicly funded service delivery, including family violence service providers and housing providers, religious schools and a range of other areas, including employment. On a broader level, Australia is out of step with other countries which have legal and constitutional protection of human rights. I don't know if you know, but Australia is the only Western democracy which does not have a Human Rights Act or equivalent legal and constitutional protection of human rights. So I also believe that a Human Rights Act is essential to end this legal discrimination once and for all and to allow people to actually enforce their human rights in court. Number two, we need to improve how our law recognises our diverse community. We need to improve legal recognition. So transgender people should be able to change their legal gender without facing unnecessary barriers, without having to divorce the person they love, without having to undergo invasive, expensive and surgery that is not necessary for their gender identity. And also allowing transgender children under 18 to be able to access the same legal recognition that the rest of us should have. Gender diverse people should be legally recognised as who they are, with gender being recognised outside binary categories of male and female and not imposing fixed gender identities on people who are forced to live in a society that doesn't recognise them for who they are. Every single parent and every single child in rainbow families should have legal certainty of recognition for their families, and that includes families being raised in co-parenting situations where there's more than two parents involved in the care and raising the child. Number three, protecting LGBTIQ plus people from harm. This is a huge category, and I can only talk about a few discrete issues. But something that we really need to do as a matter of urgency is to end deferrable and medically unnecessary surgeries and other medical treatments on intersex infants and children performed without their full, free and informed consent, except in cases of absolute medical necessity. There's low awareness about the issues that intersex people face, and you might have seen some of the articles in the media recently about sporting codes seeking to introduce testosterone tests, which essentially are aimed at targeting intersex athletes, but are also racially discriminatory in how they assess testosterone levels. We need to introduce effective protections against hate speech and hate crime, or vilification is generally the term that is used, and prejudice-motivated crime. Last year at a federal level, for the first time in Australia's history, LGBTIQ plus people were protected from hate speech for a period that was just over 30 days during the postal survey, but we are no longer protected. What that might do is start taking steps in our laws to put an end to all forms of harassment, violence, discrimination, and intimidation on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, or sex characteristics. As Liam mentioned before, we need to put an end to the practice of so-called conversion therapy, which causes long-term profound harm to LGBTIQ people raised in faith communities who are told that they are wrong and sinful, and that has a devastating impact on your sense of self and purpose when you're told that an inherent part of who you are is a sickness that must be cured. Number four, we need to provide redress for past wrongs. So we need to ensure that every person with a criminal record comprised of convictions from before homosexuality was decriminalised and when cross-dressing was decriminalised, as that was what the offence was called, can clear their names, and to allow loved ones of people who have passed, who have these convictions, to also clear their names. And I recognise the work of so many in this room, but particularly the work of Jamie Gardner towards the advocacy towards these schemes. And we're almost there. We only have two jurisdictions to go. We need to continue to advocate against this injustice until every last state and territory also delivers a formal state apology. So currently Victoria, South Australia, Queensland, Tasmania and Western Australia have. If you keep an eye out on the news, the Northern Territory Chief Minister will be delivering an apology on Tuesday. But what these apologies do is they draw a line in the sand about these unjust laws and the harms and stigma that they've caused for so many decades. We also have to make sure that there is actually compensation and redress available for every single breach of human rights in this country. My last one, number five, we need to promote equality and respect for LGBTIQ plus people beyond our borders. We cannot end where Australia's borders end. Right now, there are hundreds of men on Manus Island who live in precarious situations under makeshift shelters, in a lot of cases at the mercy of the Australian government, which has ignored its international obligations time and time again, and basic human decency to make an example of innocent people for short-term political gain. On Nauru, two of our clients, Ashkan and Nima, who are a gay couple who are still very much in love despite the trials and tribulations that they have been put through, are looking at yet another year of threats to their safety, of violence and uncertainty, and a legal limbo with no end in sight. We cannot stop until the extreme rise in anti-LGBTIQ plus violence we've seen the last year in Russia and Chechnya and Azerbaijan comes to a final end. And closer to home in our region, where there are murders of gay men in Papua New Guinea and Bangladesh, transgender women in Latin America, and we need to really stop taking a step backwards in our region, countries like India, and to ensure that we end the decriminalise homosexuality in the more than a third of the countries in the world who still continue to criminalise consensual same-sex activities, including countries in our region. My family's Malaysian Chinese. My mum grew up there, and that is a country which is in our region that still continues to criminalise homosexuality today.
Thank you, Lee.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.